Welcome to the Great Stories Podcast. I'm Charles Morris, and today I'm going to share with you an interview we just featured on our daily program this week. It's a conversation I had with Oxford mathematics professor Dr. John Lennox. In fact, he holds 3 earned doctorates. You see, in the early days of the pandemic, I was concerned. We were interviewing people from all over the world, sharing their stories of survival. But others were talking about those they loved who had died. COVID-19 was spreading, and I was worried. But the Lord sent my way Dr. Lennox's little book, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And it helped me refocus my heart and mind on the comforting truth that God is still in control. That's exactly what you'll hear us talk about in this conversation, along with other difficult questions that you may be asking about how to find hope in these challenging days. I pray this interview will be as much of a comfort to you as it was to me. But before we go to Oxford, England, I want to encourage you to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss a single episode of Great Stories. And please take another moment to rate our podcast. You might even leave a friendly note so others can enjoy these great stories. And let me say thank you in advance. Welcome to Haven today. We're going to Oxford, and we haven't been there in quite a while. And on the line with us, we're not going to somebody that's working on that vaccine that's being developed at Oxford, but Dr. John Lennox was a mathematics professor for many years. You've been on the program with us before. John, I want to say thank you and welcome back to Haven today.
Well, I'm delighted to be with you.
You not only have a parcel of earned doctorate degrees and taught at Oxford yourself, but you actually were a student of C.S. Lewis. I believe it was the final class he ever taught. Am I right on that? Does my memory serve me right?
I was only a student in the sense that I heard him give his final lectures. But I was at those lectures in 1962, and very memorable that experience was, because Lewis has had a huge influence on me.
Wow. Well, with that background, what I want to talk to you is a sweet book that you wrote when the pandemic first broke out. And that's your book, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And I just want to say first, John, thank you for writing that book. It has ministered to me, but I'm sure it's ministering to others too. Why did you decide, as a mathematician, as a theologian, how did you decide to write a book on COVID?
It was very simple, actually. When the lockdown started, being a mathematician, I realized this is going to show exponential growth, and it's therefore going to be very scary. And seeing that I was going to be confined to my home, I thought, what can I do? And it suddenly occurred to me that because I believe that the Christian faith has got something very important to say into situations like this, that I would at least try and sit down and write something that would be fairly short, but would deal with some of the major questions that people would be asking and the pain that they would be suffering. And that's the genesis of the book.
Mm. Now, you didn't set out to write a book as to why people should or should not wear a mask. You wrote a book that's more significant than that, didn't you?
I think the medical advice, of course, is extremely important. But I was concerned with the much deeper questions, because COVID-19 raises those big questions. You can't think of an epidemic or a pandemic in which many people are dying without thinking of the significance of death. And that brings you to the question of eternity and God very rapidly.
Well, let's talk about those big questions. What are the big questions that everyone, especially Christians, need to be considering right now? Because the pandemic is still with us. We're in a second wave right now.
Well, the title of my book reflects the hardest one, Where is God in a Coronavirus World? And I attempt in this book to give what I believe is a rational answer to it. There's no simplistic answer to this ancient problem of pain and evil. But I do believe that Christianity has something to say that goes way beyond in its helpfulness anything that atheism has to say. And I compare the various worldviews in their attempt to come to terms with this.
Are you a little afraid that even some professing Christians are buying into other worldviews and not a Christ worldview?
Well, that's always a danger because Christianity, unfortunately, under the guise of Christendom, has got many faces. And this kind of thing can rock people to the base of their being. You know, it seems to me that there are two issues, Charles, here. There's, first of all, the situation of those of us who don't have the disease and are watching it. We're the observers, so to speak. And we tend to ask all sorts of big philosophical questions. But then there are people who are actually suffering it, and that's very different. If you're facing death from COVID, that would rock anybody. And therefore, one needs to have something extremely solid to hold on to. And I believe that Christ offers that. He doesn't offer that the disease will be cured, but the gospel gives us something that actually transcends death and gives us what atheism can never give by definition, and that is ultimate hope. And so for me, the way into this centers on two major historical events: the cross of Christ, showing us that God understands suffering, and his resurrection, showing that Jesus has triumphed over death and therefore is still alive. And that changes everything.
Well, it certainly does. What's it like in Oxford? I know the UK is locked down again a little more. What's it been like for you personally during COVID?
Well, I live outside Oxford, and I haven't left my home overnight for 8 months. We have been from time to time in such a serious lockdown that not even our grandchildren can visit us. At the moment, we're limited to meeting with a total of 6 people under our own roof. So we're going to be able to see part of one of our grandchildren group, but not the whole family, because they've got 6 in their family and they can't all come. I have hardly been in Oxford at all, and it's very like a ghost city, and we don't go out to restaurants or anything like that. We just occasionally go shopping, but mostly have it delivered. So I've been sitting at home communicating with the world by writing books and being involved in discussions like this. I've done hundreds of them, actually, and they're my window to the world.
Let's go back in history just a little bit, and then we'll spend a little more time in this. Let me just use the word precious little book that you wrote, which I hope people will read and be ministered to by. There in Oxford, at the end of World War I, slightly over 100 years ago, it was the beginning of the pandemic. It was the Spanish flu pandemic that started. Has that crossed your mind a few times that, you know, the troops coming back brought it back to where you live today?
Well, in my book, I felt that we need to try, if we can't get things into proportion, go back not simply to Spanish flu, but way back into the past, because there have been pandemics all through the centuries. And what is very interesting is to see the way, in particular, how Christians reacted to them. Even Martin Luther wrote a book encouraging Christians to stay and do what they could. And, you know, I feel it's very important as a Christian to remind people of the legacy of Christianity in setting up hospices and hospitals, nursing. All of those things are a gift of the Christian faith to the world. And it's very important to remind people of that. But we have been there before. But of course, very few people remember the Spanish flu in that sense. They remember later incidents of SARS and epidemics like that. But the point is, once you get caught up with it and see something that is extensive and is unpredictable in the way in which it's transmitted as the current thing, we just haven't been here before. People have no parallel experience to put alongside it.
Well, let's touch a little more into your book. It's a short book. It's only 60-some pages long, but that means it's readable and it's accessible for most people, even though it's written by a man who taught mathematics at Oxford once upon a day. Where do you find your hope in this pandemic, and how are you sharing that that's going to encourage me and our listeners?
Well, I find my hope through Scripture, as it tells us about the way in which Jesus himself dealt with situations. And what I find very encouraging in particular is the story of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha. There you have a nuclear family. Lazarus was very ill, and the sisters sent a message to Jesus, who was many miles away, just telling him that Lazarus was ill. And of course, they expected him to come, but he didn't come. And they went through the awful emotion of watching their beloved brother and presumably breadwinner die. Mm. And then Jesus turns up. And first of all, Martha meets him and says, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." Now, that's a coronavirus kind of question. Lord, where were you? Were you socially distancing? Because if you were here, he wouldn't have died. So she believed he had the power. Her problem was he wasn't there. And that's the kind of thing that people are raising. God could do it if he would, but he doesn't seem to want to. And Jesus' answer to her was, of course, absolutely spectacular, ultimately. But he said, you know, your brother will rise again, which is lovely, of course. He didn't just say Lazarus would rise again, your brother. In other words, something of that relationship that they found precious is going to be restored. And Martha then went into theology and said, yes, I know he'd rise again the last day. He said, I don't mean that. I am the resurrection and the life. And that statement is so spectacularly absurd, unless it's true, that it almost sends shivers down my spine. There he was standing in a graveyard saying he is the resurrection, that if someone believes in him, even though they die, yet shall they live. Now, that's where I find my hope, because he demonstrated subsequently that what he said was true. He spoke the word and the dead man came forth. But before that, the second sister came and she said exactly the same as the first one. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother wouldn't have died. And then she started to weep. And here's the most interesting thing. Instead of going into a theological discussion with her, Jesus saw her weeping and he wept too. And that tells me something about the heart of God. To the person that had the big philosophical and theological questions like Martha, he gave answers to that. But to the person who was weeping, he wept too, to show that God is a heart that understands. And I believe that needs to be our response. We need to point to those two aspects of Christianity. One, there are real answers, but there's a heartbeat of love to people. And then, of course, he raised Lazarus from the dead. And I firmly believe that what he did in that little graveyard for one person 20 centuries ago, that same voice will one day speak, and all people who've trusted him will be raised from the dead. And so if, for example, I get carried away in the next few months by COVID-19, I know one day that voice will speak and I will be raised from the dead. And that, Charles, is where I find hope.
Amen to that. You've started preaching on me here, which is good.
No, but that's, you said I was Irish, but there, you see, that happens.
Hey, that wasn't a temper. That was just your faith coming through, John. Dr. Yeah. John Lennox, would you lead us in prayer right now? Because I believe in my heart from listening to you speak, you know the Lord. You've been sharing the Lord with us in a coronavirus world. Would you lead us in prayer now?
Of course I would, because God is real. Father God, we just thank you that these things are real, and that as we come to you now, we're entering in to another world where you are the God and King. And we pray for people, particularly today, who are suffering pain because of COVID, the loss of loved ones, people who are anxious because of their job loss or the difficulties they may get into or not seeing relatives or loved one. Lord, we pray that you'll help us to turn our hearts to the wonderful message of the gospel and open those hearts with all their questions to you. We thank you, Lord, that you have got answers to the big questions, but also you have a heart of love that showed itself when the Lord Jesus gave himself for us. So, Lord, we just pray for a world in pain that will learn that God is nearer than they think, even in a coronavirus world. For we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for joining us on Great Stories with Charles Morris and our special guest today, Dr. John Lennox. You can hear more interviews that I've done with Dr. Lennox over the years at haventoday.org. He talks about the importance of a Christian worldview as well as defending the existence of God. I appreciate his powerful mind, and even more, I love his heart for Jesus. While you're on our website, please sign up for our weekly email to remind you about this podcast. And don't forget to subscribe through the service you use to listen. Links are in the show notes. Thanks for joining me today. See you next time on Great Stories with Charles Morris.